Senator Paul Shimp on the other end of the line this morning. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Man, we got a ton of stuff to talk about this morning, so I try not to keep you too long, Paul, but I appreciate it, and I know that you have been really out there beating the bushes when it comes to the fair tax that we're going to be seeing on the ballot. The fair tax is what it's called, although fair, I think, is the operative word there. Tax is pretty clear.
Tax increase is the key term, and really it goes by a number of different names, and the reason for the confusion is there's no name for it on the ballot itself. The ballot language is just going to talk about changing the Constitution, but it doesn't give it a name. Some people are calling it the progressive tax. The governor's been calling it the fair tax. It's also known as the graduated tax. I think probably the best nickname you could give to it is the blank check tax, because that's what, you know, if we vote to approve this, we're really giving Springfield politicians a blank check to, you know, and giving them more power to increase our taxes.
Now, I've seen some pushback on the very subject you're just talking about, saying they already have that ability, that this doesn't change it. They already had it.
Well, no, what this does is this allows them to tweak the different rates. Right now, if they're going to raise taxes, they're going to have to raise taxes on everybody across the board. What this would do is this would say, you know what, you no longer have to charge everybody the same tax rate, which is really, that's one of the fundamental bedrock principles of our country is equal treatment, that everybody is going to be treated the same way. You pay the same tax rate. If you make more money, you pay more taxes. If you make less money, you pay less taxes. What this amendment will do is it'll strip out that protection out of the Illinois Constitution, and it'll give politicians the ability to really micro-target different groups and raise taxes on one group at a time. It's the old divide and conquer strategy. Instead of saying, okay, we're all in this together, everybody's gonna see a tax increase, it's no, we're gonna just target this one little group. And it makes it easier to raise taxes, and that's why if you look at the different states across the country, not including Illinois, which is already one of the highest taxing states in the land, but 7 out of the top 10 states with the highest tax rates are progressive or graduated income tax states.
And some of those who have gone this way have seen how counterproductive it is and gone the other way.
Yes, I think the most recent state that did it, you know, has seen their tax rates go up. And, you know, the point that I want to make sure that we address is there's a lot of confusion. The governor is saying, hey, look, this is a tax that is not going to raise your taxes unless you make over $250,000 a year. And they have some proposed rates that they've already passed to go with that. But that is, you know, that is misleading, because he's talking about rates that go with a tax increase of about $3 billion. And $3 billion, that's a heck of a lot of money, but let's put things in perspective. The most recent budget that the General Assembly passed was unbalanced to the tune of $6 billion. I know you have up on your desktop, probably right in front of you, you have our bill backlog, mm-hmm. which ranges usually between like $4 and $8 billion, depending on what month or what week it is. Our pensions, underfunded pensions liability is, conservative estimate, $140 billion. The state's also on the hook for another $40 billion of health care costs. So when you add all that stuff up, our shortfall is about $200 billion. And the governor's tax proposal that he's saying, oh, well, this isn't going to result in a tax increase for you, that's only $3 billion. So this is kind of, to make an analogy, this is like you're hiring somebody to paint your house, and they're going to have to paint your whole house, and you ask them, well, how much is that going to cost? And their response is, well, for that little 2x2 section down there, that's not going to cost you anything. But for the rest of it, you know, just write me a blank check and we'll figure it out later. I'll fill it in later. That's what the governor is really telling people when he's saying, oh, your taxes aren't going to go up right now. Well, maybe not at first, but those rates are not written into the constitutional amendment. They can change, and, you know, a graduated tax really means more tax.
All right, $7 billion back bill, $7,989,321,612.59. There are two aspects that came to my mind while you were talking. Another one is, and I'm unclear on it because other people are saying, look, this also is going to be punishment when it comes to married couples and taxes. Can you tell me about this? Because I do not know exactly what they're talking about here.
Well, what they're saying, you know, the governor's proposed rates, and what they did was they did pass some new tax rates that say, okay, if this constitutional amendment passes, these are what the new tax rates are going to be. And the new tax rates have increased, you know, a tax increase for small businesses and taxing entities making more than $250,000 a year. So if you have combined income of more than $250,000, or if you're a small business, or a lot of farms are caught up in this, and that's why the Illinois Farm Bureau is adamantly opposed to this tax increase, you would see your taxes go up. And that's just, you know, that's just for a tax increase that generates $3 billion, and since we have a lot more money that we owe, you can bet that those rates are going to change. You know, this all kind of goes back to the fact that Illinois doesn't have a tax problem. We have a spending problem. I heard Senator Durbin talk about how we need to have a bailout and our state needs help, and I think everybody recognizes that, but the sticking point is our Republicans in Congress would like to see some type of action from the state of Illinois to show that we are going to make systemic changes and try to solve our problems down the line. I, like probably almost all of your listeners, you know, I've got kids, so they've either have kids or have raised kids. But it's like, you know, when your child comes to you and says, I want this, you know, this new expensive thing, a lot of times the response is, well, show me that you have the responsibility to handle that. You know, my oldest boy wants one of the new Xbox consoles, and I'm like, Ethan, before, you know, we buy that, I want to see you show me that you have the responsibility and the maturity to handle this. And that's really, I think, what our Republicans in Congress are saying. You know, they want to see systemic change in Illinois. They want to see our state show that it's going to be able to get our spending under control before we even talk about a bailout.
All right. Now, there are some issues, once again, that you brought up, which bring more ideas to mind here. You talked about this when it came to farms a couple of moments ago, and here's why. Because I know how much money you spend, but you don't make much money when you buy a piece of equipment that costs $300,000, right? And several of our listeners have texted on this situation on the text line this morning. At $250,000 line, if you have a business where you have high overhead because the product is really expensive to purchase, so is this $250,000 line based on gross or net?
My understanding is that it's based on net, but the important thing to realize is that's not in the constitutional amendment that we're voting on. None of those rates that the governor is saying, oh, this is, you know, the cutoff for when you're going to have to pay more taxes or when your taxes are not going to get up, none of that stuff is in the constitutional amendment. And all that stuff can be changed later on. And based on the numbers that I talked about, the fact that, you know, this is a proposed $3 billion increase as opposed to a $200 billion shortfall, you know, you can bet that those tax brackets are going to change. And there's no safeguards in this amendment. What this amendment does is it just removes the flat tax provision from the Illinois Constitution, and it gives politicians in Springfield more taxing power.
All right, now here's another issue. Let's back away and get some distance, get back from this thing just a couple of inches, right? And say, look, they're in Washington, D.C. You got to have money. You need help. Businesses are going to fail. We've got to do everything we can to help. They're frantic, right? Got to do something. Businesses are going to fail. Half the businesses are going to be gone, while at the same time increasing the taxes on those businesses. The inherent duplicity of that philosophy troubles me.
Well, this is the absolute worst time to be increasing taxes on small businesses right now. The other thing that absolutely infuriates me when we talk about businesses that are in trouble and businesses that are failing is the fact that we are using the positivity rate as the metric to shut down business in the Metro East. I'm up in Monroe County, which is Region 4. It's Monroe, Randolph, St. Clair, Madison, Bond, Clinton, and Washington counties. But right now, we have no indoor dining. We have no no reception halls can operate because the governor has placed these mitigation measures on the region based on positivity rate. And that's extremely frustrating for me because the positivity rate, it's an important metric to track, but it's not the most critical one. And it's also, it is the metric that is probably the most unreliable, and it tells us the least about what's going on in society. The positivity rate really is only it's the percentage of positive, COVID positive test results that come back compared to all the tests that were administered. So this is not your percentage of the general populace that has COVID-19 right now. It's just the amount of tests that come back positive, and it's completely controlled by your testing pool. If you have a lot of healthy people being tested, the numbers are going to be low. If you have individuals that are that have severe symptoms, the positivity rate is going to be higher. It also is impacted by the fact that individuals that test positive in our state facilities that are being tested multiple times, they contribute a positive test result every time they are tested. So it's not one test per person. It's just as many tests that are given to an individual that may be sick. So the positivity rate is not reliable. There's been reporting done on this by the New York Times, by the Belleville News Democrat. A lot of epidemiologists believe that the positivity rate is flawed because our positive test results come back at a much higher rate than they should. There are people that have genetic virus fragments, that are no longer positive for COVID-19, but can still generate a positive test result.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm so upset about that is I feel like if the government is considering destroying people's livelihoods, we owe it to those people to use a metric that is both reliable and meaningful.
And realistic.
And the positivity
rate
has neither of those two attributes. So it infuriates me when I hear, politicians talk about, we need to do more for our businesses that are struggling. Well, the first thing you can do is actually revise your plan, use a better metric, and let the businesses operate.
It's interesting when I was listening to you talk, because people say, why can't I get a test if I want one? Well, if you really wanted to mess with some tests, get a bunch of healthy people and you sign them all up, and that's why there's a standard. Okay, is there a reason why you should be getting a testing, at least my personal experience here in Southern Illinois? I want to go back to money, because this is a good question, and I note that it comes from a Chicago area code. Every Republican who says we have a spending problem, and we do, but none of them want to cut anything except the vague aspect of corruption. Now, if we don't have this tax, right, we're already in the hole so deep we can't even argue about how much our nose is underwater. What would you suggest, Senator, that it should be cut, and how would we go about getting this beast of debt under control without additional taxes?
Well, when I talk about the fact that we have a spending problem, I go back to even maybe 3 years to the budgets that we have passed. Now, none of the Republicans voted for this FY21 budget that was just passed this May, but the FY20 budget, the year before that, was a year that we had record revenue coming in. Absolutely record revenue coming in. It was a banner year. And what did our politicians in the General Assembly do that year? We spent every last dime of that new revenue by increasing our spending across the board. We didn't hold it steady. We didn't make any cuts. We increased spending across the board. All the areas that we have discretion to choose our amount of spending, we increased it across the board. We also passed an increase in the minimum wage, which that considerably elevates the state's spending levels. You go back the year before that, we had done the same thing. There was record revenue coming in, and we increased spending that year as well. Now, the budget that was FY20 budget, I voted no on that. The FY19 budget, I voted yes on that one because, if you remember, that was kind of the last budget that Governor Rauner had, and we were coming out of the impasse, and it was either that budget, which was flawed, or another impasse which our state could not take. But when we talk about spending cuts, I want to see responsible government, which is keeping spending level. If we had been either keeping spending level or we had been slightly reducing it, our financial situation would be much, much greater than what it is right now. We would be in much better shape financially, and that's kind of the problem is every time we increase spending, that makes it that much harder to cut. But I'm not looking for draconian cuts. I think if you have responsible government, which is keeping spending either at the same levels or slightly decreasing, coupled with economic growth, I think that slowly we will get our state into a better position.
I wish we had more time because you're going to have to come back to the show because I'm out of time now, but gee whiz, right? Before we end, there's a common denominator. You talked about COVID and testing. A lot of people texting on that when you were talking about that, by the way. And we talked about money and spending. I mean, we had these problems before COVID-19. They've been further exacerbated. And once I finally decompressed from the interview, I'm totally decompressed from speaking with Senator Durbin this morning, I got the aspect on the CURES money that was allocated in Washington, D.C., March 27. Still haven't seen anything outside Chicago. Basically, you're screwed. You're not going to see the money. You're not going to get it. That was my takeaway at the end of the because I think 100 people of cities or municipalities have applied out of 1,100. Why aren't they applying? Because they know they're going to get screwed, right? The bottom line on all this, Senator, you talked about responsibility, but responsibility is tied deeply into the word trust, and now nobody trusts anybody. I mean, you go out this today and you say, oh, we need to increase taxes from a guy who had toilets removed from his home so he wouldn't have to pay taxes. So you can't tell me taxes aren't too high. We're in one of the most taxed states in the country, and we're saying increase taxes, but only on that other guy. He's bad. He's a CEO. Trust seems to be the common denominator. People of Illinois no longer trust state government.
And they no longer trust their government just because we have a culture of corruption in Springfield. And, the one thing that we didn't talk about today as well is, we have the hearings that are starting in the Illinois House of Representatives on Speaker Madigan's role in the ComEd scandal. That is something where Speaker Madigan will have the opportunity to explain to the people of Illinois why he is still worthy of their trust to be Speaker of the Illinois House. He will have the opportunity to do that. I'm going to be interested to see whether he, in fact, does that. I'm also going to be interested to see whether Governor Pritzker keeps his word and holds him accountable, because Governor Pritzker has said Speaker Madigan needs to answer questions about this. Well, today, Speaker Madigan will have that opportunity. And I want to see whether he does, and if he does, I'll be interested to see what he says. If he doesn't, if he refuses to answer questions, I'm going to be very interested to see whether Governor Pritzker keeps his word to the people of Illinois and starts to hold Speaker Madigan accountable.